Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970, or you can also message us on the Montana Talks app. I know George covered this a little bit on Friday's show, and first off, big thanks to George Blackard for filling in for me for a special Freedom Friday edition of Montana Talks. We had a volleyball tournament to head off to in Rapid City, so thanks to George for covering that. But I want to go back to this big story that we shared on Thursday night. I got a story on our Montana Talks website. We had it ready to rock and roll for George on Friday morning, but this was a follow-up to a big story that we were covering 1 week ago. Trende Aragua, TDA illegal alien gang members arrested here in Montana. They're now being deported. But also this big news that a United States citizen is being charged with smuggling them into the country. In fact, last week after I had shared that story, we got a bunch of comments. A lot of people were commenting on it on social media and more. And I think it was one of our listeners in Malta who said, hey, any info on the woman who was arrested for smuggling these illegal aliens into the country? And I had reached out, you know, over a week ago, I'd placed phone calls and emails to the Border Patrol, to the Havre sector, and didn't hear back to try to get more information. But when I got that message from a listener in Malta, I thought, you know what, I'm going to reach out to federal court. I'll bet the U.S. Attorney's Office, if this is a U.S. citizen who's now being prosecuted for smuggling in illegal aliens, it's got to be prosecuted here in the federal courts in Montana, so I'm going to reach out to the U.S. Attorney's Office. So I reached out to the U.S. Attorney's Office, and Carrie Leggette got right back to me and gave me the info. The suspect, Kristen Lewis Mitchell, 41-year-old female, citizen of the United States, and then she gave me, you know, the case name and the PACER document number. Well, big thanks to David Noble. He snagged the court documents for us, and I read through the entire affidavit that was signed by a Border Patrol agent stationed in Sweetgrass, Montana, just north of Shelby. And wow, man, as David told me, he said, wow, that looks like a spicy case here. The case ties to Shelby, Montana, and I'm going to go over some more of the details in that case here. But this is, so here you have Trende Aragua operatives, illegal alien gang members with no documentation whatsoever to be in this country, smuggled into this country by a United States citizen. They were first pulled over by the Montana Highway Patrol on I-90 outside of Billings. Long story short, the investigation led them all the way back to Shelby, Montana, small town Shelby, Montana. That's where these Trende Aragua gang members were living. And the locals were on to something. I'll tell you about that and more right after this.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Bear Tooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the locals in Shelby, Montana, they knew something was up. When I was reading through this affidavit from the Border Patrol with these federal court documents, one of the things they pointed out here is they were, doing this investigation, you know, Montana Highway Patrol, the Toole County Sheriff's Office, Border Patrol. As the Border Patrol reached out to the Toole County Sheriff's Office and they said, hey, do you have any information on this woman, this Kristen Mitchell? And And what the Toole County Sheriff's Office told the Border Patrol is that, yeah, we've had local folks here in Shelby tell us. They've called in tips saying, hey, we believe that there are illegal aliens being housed at this house in Shelby, Montana. And again, this goes back to if you see something, say something. And I mentioned about a month or so ago that ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, has a tip line that is up and running. You can, even if you just do a quick internet search, you can pull this up, that there's a website that you can go to, and you can, if you have a tip, you can put that on the ICE tip line website, or you can call the phone number. And so I did a write-up on our Montana Talks website. In fact, I republished that very story so that it's closer up to the top here, so that folks can see it a little more quickly here as well. But yeah, there is an ICE tip line, so that if you see something, you can say something. But yeah, back to this story here. Trinidad, Aragua, illegal aliens arrested. Shelby, Montana. So the Trinidad, Aragua illegal alien gang members were pulled over by Montana Highway Patrol back on February 21st on I-90 near Billings. And I'll read from the affidavit here. At the time of the stop, the vehicle was displaying fictitious Texas temporary tags, and that's where the three subjects were identified by Montana Highway Patrol at the time. Two of the suspects were from Venezuela, and then a third from Honduras. And then on fast forward a few more days, February 25th, a Sweetgrass Station Border Patrol agent runs a vehicle registration check on a temporary Montana tag in Shelby, Montana, that came back to the same vehicle registered to Kristen Mitchell in Shelby, Montana. And according to the affidavit, Mitchell has prior convictions for alien smuggling in California and have been encountered by Sweetgrass Border Patrol agents in northbound smuggling events. Haver intelligence agents contacted the Toole County Sheriff's Department to notify them of the situation and to ask if they've received any information regarding Mitchell. The Toole County Sheriff's Office advised that Mitchell has had numerous complaints and they have received tips from the public that she was harboring possible illegal aliens inside her home located at 235 11th Avenue North in Shelby, Montana. Now, when eventually questioned by the Toole County Sheriff's Office, Mitchell claimed that the TDA gang members were political asylees. A Border Patrol agent also reports in the federal affidavit that Mitchell had been spotted transporting individuals to the U.S.-Canada border and showing them where to cross in order to avoid the port of entry. The illegal alien suspects were transported to the Border Patrol station and, quote, all immigration checks showed no current status nor future immigration court dates. The affidavit was signed by a Border Patrol agent in Sweetgrass who told the federal court that Kristen Lewis Mitchell, a.k.a. Kristen Lewis Short, has violated 8 U.S.C. Section 1324, harboring of illegal aliens. And, of course, I got the full story on our Montana Talks website. One thing I would add is that I did not name the Border Patrol agent. If you read the court documents, you can see the name of the Border Patrol agent who signed the affidavit. Out of respect for the officer's privacy, I did not include his name in the story on our Montana Talks website. However, I would say this. I am more than happy to provide credit where credit is due. If the agent is okay with us naming him in the story and on the website, I'd be more than happy to put his name in there because I just think it's a great job by the Highway Patrol, by the Toole County Sheriff's Office, and, of course, the U.S. Border Patrol. And also, I would say, the local citizens in Shelby who saw something and said something about this as well is a key part of piecing all of this together. Here's the other thing I wonder, because when I read this affidavit, okay, the Toole County Sheriff's Office said they received numerous complaints. Border Patrol, They're Haver intelligence agents, apparently. They had talked, the Border Patrol had talked about already surveilling this woman who's been convicted of smuggling illegal aliens before, that they surveilled her, showing, you know, individuals where they could cross the border in order to avoid the port of entry. I'd be very interested in what the timeline is here on when all of the, like, when were the tips called in to the sheriff's office in Shelby? When was this woman surveilled by Border Patrol showing? I would almost bet money that a lot of this evidence came in before Donald Trump was sworn in as president of the United States. But the Border Patrol just wasn't allowed to do anything about it until we had a commander-in-chief back in office who was willing to stand up and defend the borders of his country once again and let them do their jobs.
Montana. Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You got me!
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Fleck.
Oh, man, this is brilliant. What do you guys think about a third term for Donald J. Trump? Well, technically, it wouldn't be a third term as president of the United States, but, well, wait till you hear this one. We're going to get to this one here in just a second. First, though, we've got the phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Coming up in about 20 minutes in the second half of the show, I know you guys have, for those of you that have been tuning into the show for quite some time now, you have heard this remarkable, well, you've heard part of the story. The remarkable story about a kid from Terry, Montana. You know, last week, I hadn't even heard the news that Norm Clark had passed away. But a friend on Facebook, I saw a friend up on the High Line, shared the obituary in honor of Norm Clark, who became known as the Gossip King of Las Vegas. And a friend of mine just shared that on Facebook and said, remarkable story about a kid from Terry, Montana. Yeah, Norm Clark, what a class act and a Montana legend. You know, he always enjoyed seeing fellow Montanans down in Las Vegas. I actually just pulled up his book here, Norm Clark's Vegas Confidential, Sensational Celebrity Tales. I pulled up that book, and then actually I saw right in the middle of the book is a photo of me doing my radio show back in 2012 at the Venetian Hotel and Casino. We were there for a big convention, and I think Michelle Malkin was one of my guests. But when I had Norm Clark, my Bob Gilbert was listening in Helena. Bob Gilbert has since passed, of course, as well. He represented the wool growers in the state capitol in Helena. But Bob Gilbert had heard on the radio that I was going to be doing the show from down in Las Vegas. And he said, hey, you got to interview my friend Norm Clark. We went to Miles Community College together back in the day. He grew up in Terry, Montana. So you got to interview my friend Norm Clark. And so I didn't think much of it, but I said, yeah, great, sounds good. Yeah, let's interview your friend Norm Clark. Well, Norm Clark walks into Radio Row. I'm just one of several radio hosts. There was a bunch of national radio hosts there and some local Vegas people. And I was still early on in my talk radio career in 2012. I think I'd just gotten back from another military deployment just a few months before that. And all of a sudden, Norm Clark walks in, and he's got an eye patch over one of his eyes. And just the moment he walked in, I mean, just with class, it was like watching Johnny Carson. He was like a guest on Johnny Carson. He just walked in with confidence and pizzazz, but the whole place lit up. They're like, oh, my goodness, it's Norm Clark. Norm Clark's here. And so anyway, and of course, Norm sits down to join me on my little old Montana radio show. And then after that, everybody wanted to get some time with Norm Clark. Well, a friend and colleague of Norm's, Johnny Katz, John Katzlamitas with the Las Vegas Review Journal, did an incredible write-up on our friend Norm Clark. You know, an incredible story about a kid from Terry, Montana. Johnny Katz is going to join us here in just a few minutes. So, but in the meantime, let's cover, you know, some of the other big news of the day here and get to your phone calls and more. What about a third term for President Donald J. Trump? I think he was on, I think he must have been on Air Force One or something. But President Trump made headlines on Sunday by stating that he is considering serving a third term. However, he emphasized that he is not actively pursuing it at the moment, as he believes there is still a long way to go in his current tenure. Let me get this soundbite up for you here. Let's see. I must have pulled up another. Okay, that's what I did. I pulled up my AI software, and if I pull that up, I can't play audio clips at the sound at the same time. All right, here we go. This should be the Trump audio.
I'm not looking at that, but I'll tell you, I have had more people ask me to have a third term, which is in a way a fourth term because the other election, the 2020 election, was totally rigged. So it's actually sort of a fourth term in a certain way. I just don't want the credit for the second.
All right, and then Fox News Radio, which provided that soundbite for us here, said President Trump suggested that Americans would go along with a third term due to his widespread popularity. He's prohibited by the Constitution from doing that, but Congress could change that. But here's the idea that I really like. Ryan Fournier shared this via X. Trump just hinted at the idea of running with J.D. Vance in 2028 as the vice presidential candidate. And then Ryan Fournier says, ha, 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 the left is going to implode. Do it. Yeah, here we go. President, this is from Fox News Radio. President Trump said Sunday that, quote, I'm not joking. The clearest indication that he is considering a move just like this. He said, quote, there are methods which you could do it. Trump said in a telephone interview with NBC News from Mar-a-Lago. He elaborated later to reporters on Air Force One from Florida, Washington. And that was the soundbite that I just played for you right there. And so anyway, yeah, what about, if you want to call it a third term for President Donald J. Trump, but if he ran as the vice presidential candidate, so you still get a Trump Vance ticket. I think this would be absolutely brilliant because, look, we all know that what President Trump is doing right now, this is about saving our country. I mean, our country is on the threat of bankruptcy right now, not to mention all the other challenges facing our country. $2 trillion deficit, $36 trillion in debt, an open borders invasion that was allowed by Joe Biden and the Democrats over the last 4 years. And now these corrupt left-wing federal judges are doing everything they possibly can to stop President Trump from being able to secure this country. They're even trying to block the deportation of the most hardened of the criminal illegal aliens, the rapists, the murderers, the Tren de Aragua gang members. What would these people do if allowed back into power once again? And so it begs the question, what do the people do? Where will the voters go if Donald Trump is not on the ballot in 2028? I mean, we saw this with the midterm elections, right? We saw this with the 2022 midterm elections. Everybody was expecting this big red wave. They were expecting all of these Trump voters to show up in the midterm elections, because why wouldn't they? I mean, Joe Biden kept the COVID crisis going. He opened up the borders. He shut down the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, it was an absolute train wreck. And so that's why everybody was expecting this big red wave. But what I think what we saw in the 2022 midterms is we saw what happens when Donald Trump is not on the ballot. I mean, let's be honest. The Republicans thought they could beat Mitt Romney in 2012. They should, or Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney beat himself in 2012. They thought they could beat Barack Hussein Obama in 2012. They should have beat Barack Hussein Obama. But they didn't. You know, and of course, Mitt Romney wasn't the best candidate. And then even John McCain came up short. Republicans for years could not get across the finish line in the presidential race. And so it was Donald Trump who got the job done. And so I think what we saw in the 2022 midterms was Trump, a lot of the Trump voters, they show up for Donald Trump, but they didn't show up for things like the midterm elections. And so it makes you wonder, okay, no matter how much Trump world and Trump supporters like J.D. Vance, will as many of the voters show up and turn out for the Republican candidate in 2028, no matter who it is, without somebody like Donald J. Trump on the ballot? So what if in 2028, with Trump not being able to run for president again, he just runs for vice president, and instead you got Vance at the top of the ticket? I just think it's brilliant, and I'm sure they've got to just be freaking out at even the thought of it this far out. All right, into the phone lines we go here. We've got, I think it's Tracy in Kalispell. Yeah, Tracy, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Good morning, Aaron. Thank you for always keeping us updated, and you guys are doing a great job over there.
You're too kind.
Okay, quick comment, question. Okay, all these judges that are stopping us deporting the illegal criminals and aliens, is that not considered aiding and abetting?
Well,
what's your take?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like that to me. I mean, but whether the Supreme Court would give it that legal definition is very doubtful. I think just from a pure legal standpoint, look, President Trump is well within the law to use the,
yes,
you know, to deport these criminal illegal aliens using the Alien Enemies Act. And the Supreme Court has already ruled that these district judges can't limit the president of the United States in that regard. So I think the U.S. Supreme Court just needs to stop. They need to stop taking their sweet little time and just put a stop to all this nonsense.
Exactly. Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, anything else? What do you think about a third Trump term, but maybe as a VP in 2028?
I think it's brilliant, just like you said.
Oh, man. And some people may be saying, hey, yeah, Aaron, come on, that's a lifetime away from now. It might seem that way. But look, he's only got 4 years to really turn this whole country around. And if we lose it all again 3 years from now, look at what they thought they got away with already, what some of them are getting away with already. Could you imagine what they would do if they ever regained power again, especially in the near term? All right, Tracy, thanks for the call. Coming up right after this, Johnny Katz, John Katzlamitas from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, talking about remembering our friend Norm Clark and much more right after this. And then we'll try to sneak in more of your phone calls before we wrap up the hour as well.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump's attacks on some of the world's biggest law firms is drawing a surge in media attention. The latest is Skadden Arps, which agreed to pay $100 million in free services to the White House rather than be targeted with an executive order. This follows Paul Weiss, which agreed to provide $40 million in pro bono work, again, to avoid an executive order, which, by barring these firms from reviewing classified material, makes it very hard for them to provide help to their corporate clients. Now, three other firms have sued the administration and won an initial battle in court, saying this is unfair for them to be singled out. And often it's just a single lawyer, a former prosecutor like Bob Mueller, who was part of the firm, and therefore the president is seeing them as hostile and striking back. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Survey results showed U.S. farmers plan to plant more corn while cutting back on soybeans and wheat acres. For the fifth year in a row, Farmers Business Network has published its planting intentions report for major crops. FBN's estimates were derived from a survey of almost 1,000 U.S. farmers that represent 2 million acres of total production. These survey results were published less than a week before USDA is set to release its latest projections in the prospective plantings report, scheduled for later today. So will the two reports line up? We'll just have to wait and see. In other news, ag producers who have not yet enrolled in the Agriculture Risk Coverage, ARC, or Price Loss Coverage, PLC programs for the 2025 crop year have until April 15th of this year to revise elections and sign their contracts. Bull Safety Net programs are delivered by USDA's Farm Service Agency. Ag Risk Coverage and Price Loss Coverage programs provide excellent risk protection for market declines at no cost to the producer, according to the agency. If you haven't made your program election or signed a contract, please contact your local FSA county office as soon as possible to set an appointment so you don't miss the April 15th deadline. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we should have Johnny Katz on the phone lines with us here any second. I just got an email from him about 40 minutes ago. So, yeah, he said he was planning on calling in right about now. Norm Clark, what a class act and a Montana legend. I was trying to think of like how to describe Norm Clark. It was kind of funny when I was down in Las Vegas. This was back in 2012. And, you know, I mentioned how Norm Clark shows up at Radio Row, and it was like this massive celebrity just walked in. When Norm Clark walked in there, and he had a suit on, I think he had a hand in one pocket, walks in, he's got classy, you know, gray hair, classy white hair, and he walks in, and like I say, the whole place just lights up. Oh, my goodness, it's Norm Clark, Norm Clark. And one of the guys who was, he was there working as a, like a field producer for one of the national radio shows. I said, yeah, tell me a little bit more about Norm Clark. I mean, I just got a mutual friend from Montana who said I should interview him while I'm down here. He's like, oh man, Norm is the gossip king of Las Vegas. And, you know, he's known because he's got this eye patch over his right eye. And he said kind of the running kind of inside joke in Las Vegas was there was a lot of people who thought that the eye patch, that he didn't actually have to wear an eye patch, but that he wore it just as part of his ensemble. But I was reading a little bit more of his story, and no, he actually, you know, did have to wear the eye patch, and it was something that he had struggled with since he was a good kid. But in fact, just like any tough Montana kid, I think when he was a kid, they told him because of his eye issues that he wasn't going to be able to play sports. But he ended up saying, nope, I'm playing sports anyway, and of course did very well at it. Eventually became a sports reporter, got his start here in Montana, with the Lee newspapers, and then moved on to Cincinnati, San Diego, Los Angeles, and Denver, and really got prominence doing sports for the Rocky Mountain News. But let me just read a portion of John Katsalamidis's obituary here in the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Norm Clark, the pioneering Review-Journal celebrity columnist, recognized around town for his signature black eye patch and splashy scoops, has died. He was 82. And Clark moved to Las Vegas in 1999, having gained prominence at Denver's Rocky Mountain News. By then, he had forged a long history in newspapers as a sports writer and man-about-town columnist in his home state of Montana and on to Cincinnati, San Diego, L.A., and then Denver. The story that I remember Norm first telling me back in 2012, it was June of 2012 that I was down doing my show from the Venetian in Vegas for the first time. Now we've been back to the Venetian in Vegas several times because that's where the SHOT Show is at. It's at the Venetians and the Expo Center there. And so I've done several shows at the Venetian in the meantime, but that was my first live Montana radio show from the Venetian. But he told me the story about where he got, oh, can I say the word on the radio? I'd have to ask Frank in Malta. Frank, can I say the B word on the radio? I think I can, but I won't. He talked about getting backhand slapped by Pete Rose, the Major League Baseball great Pete Rose. You know, Pete Rose fell into some controversy. And then you might remember last October when Pete Rose died, Norm Clark actually did a write-up for us, specifically for our Montana listeners and for our Montana Talks website readers. He did a tribute to Pete Rose that we shared last October, I believe it was. But John Katsalamidis, in this Las Vegas Review-Journal obituary, shared the story of when Norm Clark got B-slapped. I'll just say B-slapped. Rhymes with itch. He got backhand slapped by Pete Rose. Clark recently, when does this go back to? Okay, so they're at the Nine Steakhouse at the Palms. What year was this? God, was it 2008? Was it 2008? I can't remember. Anyway, Clark had recently given Pete Rose a copy of 1,000 Naked Truths, in which Pete Rose was ranked number 5 among Norm Clark's 10 worst celebrity tippers. Norm had previously covered Rose unfavorably on occasion during their days in Cincinnati. So Clark called out to Pete Rose, who was living in Las Vegas at the time. Rose waved at Norm, seemed to be walking away, then turned afield and slapped the columnist. And as I told you, he basically backhand slapped him right in the face. Clark was dining with Matt Drudge, who's best known for his website, The Drudge Report. And just after the incident, the then owner of the Palms, George Maloof, and NFL star Tom Brady stopped by the table, and Norm Clark was telling the two what just happened and how they had missed an epic moment. Norm once said that Tom Brady was in disbelief. He says, I've had people tell me it's the greatest Vegas story they've ever heard. I know it's a story I won't forget. All right, we've got Johnny Katz on the phone lines. John Katsalamidis on the phone lines with us right now. John, thanks for being with us on the show this morning. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
You know, I almost feel bad referring to Norm Clark as the gossip king of Las Vegas, because I know he didn't want to just be known as a gossip columnist, but man, I was trying to think of how to describe him. To me, he's like a Wild West personality. He's this larger than life Western figure. And of course, you always love seeing fellow Montanans down in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. No question about that. Yeah, you're right about that. I think that was one thing that I was reminded of in his passing was his Intermountain West roots is big Sky Montana roots, however you say it, Wild West. And Las Vegas, at its core, is a Wild West town, you know, originally. So, you know, we're not too far afield from that in our history, too, in Las Vegas. And, yeah, he was very proud of his upbringing and his affiliation with the state of Montana, for sure. We talked about that a lot, a lot over the years. And he was that way. Yeah, he was kind of like, kind of a cowboy, maybe a swashbuckler in a lot of ways. Yeah, that type of personality. But he certainly, for all of his Las Vegas qualities, he had also that in him. You know, the cowboy, you know, I remember one time saying we're near the end of his life, you know, he was affected emotionally by what was going on. He's like, cowboys never cry, you know, and I got that. I understood that about him.
He really was a celebrity in his own right. You kind of wrote about that in your column for the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Yeah, he was. He became very well known pretty quickly in Las Vegas. He established himself right away when he moved to Las Vegas from Denver, from the Rocky Mountain News in 1999. And, he was a recognizable figure, and the crowd tended to gravitate toward him and treat him with the same type of, adulation that a lot of the celebrities he was covering received.
I was looking back. I was trying to remember when I interviewed him, when I did our radio show live from down in Las Vegas, and it was June of 2012. And I remember at the time, because he was known for, if a celebrity got busted on the strip, like Britney Spears gets arrested on the strip, he was the guy who had the scoop. He was the guy who broke the news. So I asked him back in June of 2012, I said, well, what's your big scoop for today? Anyway, I'll share that story here right after this quick break, and then more with John Katsalamidis, remembering Terry Montana's own Norm Clark, right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, back to it here with John Katsalamidis from the Las Vegas Review Journal, remembering Terry Montana's own, who became a Vegas legend. You know, John, what I love about Norm Clark is he always remembered, he never forgot where he came from, and he always looked out for folks back here in Montana. A couple years ago, I think it was, maybe 2-3 years ago now, combat photographer, a veteran from Terry, Montana, had passed away. And the American Legion in Terry, they decked it out with his combat photos and did a big display. And, Norm reached out to me because he wanted to promote what was happening back home in Terry, and he wanted to help celebrate, one of Terry's own and a veteran who had passed away. So, but yet here's this guy who, like we talked about, was a celebrity in his own right. I mean, anybody and everybody who came through Vegas had to see and had to get to know Norm Clark. You got to see it kind of firsthand, like at the Smith Center, right?
Yeah. We covered a lot of red carpets together. You know, one moment I had with him was a red carpet event at the Power of Love Gala. And I think it was in about 2013, and we were standing side by side, and we were coming down the line back to back where David Copperfield, and he stopped and talked to Norm, and we had a lengthy conversation with Norm. And I had not met David in person ever until that night. So Norm introduced me to him, and we had a lengthy talk, and David was thanking Norm for all of his attention, his coverage. And then the next person was Buzz Aldrin, the astronaut. So here comes Buzz Aldrin, and he comes around, and he wants to talk to Norm. To Norm, I'm like, are we going to just have a line for the red carpet for you here? Is that what you're We got a really big kick out of that particular time. And that was not uncommon. You know, Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf, same thing. One year, his benefit, they stopped and had a lengthy talk with Norm. That is an interview just to say hello to him and catch up, you know. But the thing that happened at the Smith Center, now Norm and Kara Clark got married in 2012 at the Smith Expo Center in the courtyard here in Las Vegas. It's a beautiful piece of property between the two major venues that they have there. And a couple years later, the state of Nevada celebrated its sesquicentennial celebration, 150 years. And Myron Martin, the president of the Smith Center, invited Norm and I to appear at the event together to represent media, to represent journalists, you know, kind of like the Mark Twain-ish moment, you know, or that, you know, that type of recognition. So Norm called me after we were invited, and he said we should get something together for, you know, figure out what we're going to say when we appear in front of the crowd. You know, it's a sold-out show. So we got together and we worked out a script, and Norm says, okay, we should make it personal, you know, kind of personal memories. And he goes, yeah, I have been married at the Smith Center. And I said, yeah, and I have been single at the Smith Center. And he goes, oh, I like that. That's good shit. So I wrote everything down in a notepad, and we got together at the Smith Center. We went out to one of these high-top tables backstage and literally worked on this thing almost right up to the point we got on stage together. And Myron Martin, the Smith Center president, had a script that he had written for us. We didn't know this. We didn't know he'd written anything for us. He goes, oh, I see you have a script. He goes, I wrote something. I go, well, I thought that's why you had a script, because we're writers. So we walked out and took a selfie that night and appeared together, and it was just such a great night. It was a great honor to be up there with him and share that time with him. We had a lot of really, really wonderful memories with Norm here in Las Vegas. And, yeah, I keep coming back to his, I'm originally from Idaho. I grew up in, my family's Pocatello, Idaho.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about our past in Idaho and Montana. We had, I was a sports writer as well. He's a sports writer. We have a lot in common outside of Las Vegas. And we bonded that way as well, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I've only really been down to Vegas for the SHOT Show, and then I got down for Cowboy Christmas during the National Finals Rodeo, and, you know, really. Yeah, which is both incredible times to be there, but it's crazy how many Western connections there really are, especially a lot of Montana connections down there. So I had to go look it up. Yeah, I was there interviewing Norm for the first time in 2012, and it was June. And I remember I asked him, I said, okay, you're known for, you know, the celebrity scoop. If Britney Spears gets arrested on the strip, Norm breaks the news, and he did. That was one of the stories he scooped. So I asked him, what was your scoop this week, or what's your latest scoop? And he said he had the scoop that the Los Angeles Kings won the Stanley Cup, and they had the Stanley Cup with them, I think the night before, at the very hotel that we were at. So that was kind of cool, just a cool little sidebar. About a minute or so to go here before we run out of time. The full story is on our Montana Talks website, including the great write-up by John Katsalamidis here as well. What were some of the other big scoops that Norm got? Maybe one more before we run out of time.
You know, I think that when Michael Jackson in about 2008 came into Las Vegas with the idea that he was going to run a production show in Las Vegas, he was meeting with people in the city, choreographers and directors and people who would, you know, would be able to make this happen at a place called the Sterling Club at Turnberry. This is a very Tory old high-rise residence. And he flew in on a private jet at that time. And he was in serious talks for a time. And Michael Jackson was living in Las Vegas for a period of time. And Norm got that he was in serious talks. I was very impressed with that, because Michael Jackson did not want people to know that he was in Las Vegas working on this show. But he was working on, you know, I think it was Kenny Ortega who ended up directing This Is It. When Michael Jackson passed away, he was doing the directing and the choreography of the concert series in London. He was meeting with Kenny Ortega at that time here.
And Norm covers it all. Well, Johnny Katz, thanks for covering a Montana legend, and thanks for your time this morning. Great to have you on Montana Talks.
Attention.